Last February, former Detroit Mayor Dave Bing turned down the United States Olympic Committee's invitation to bid on hosting the 2024 Summer Olympics. With the city's financial troubles, his hesitation was understandable, but there was a time when Detroit was desperate to host the Games. The Detroit of the late 1960s was very different than the city we know today.
Long before this land became a nation, Cadillac planted the colors of France on Detroit's shore. And thus began a rich and inspiring history which has brought Detroit to its finest hour.
That was then Detroit Mayor Jerome Cavanaugh in a 1965 promotional video in support of the Motor City's bid for the 1968 Summer Olympics. While Detroit didn't end up hosting the Games, it did have plans drawn up to be implemented if it was selected. They included new state-of-the-art facilities as well as renovated Detroit landmarks. Paul Bishori is the editor of Curbed Detroit. He wanted to know what Detroit would have looked like if it had hosted the Games, and Paul joins us now to share what he discovered. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, remind our listeners what Detroit was like in the 1950s and 60s. I think we got a musical taste of what it sounded like just a minute ago in 1965 with Mayor Cavanaugh. But tell us about the Detroit of the 50s and 60s when it was vying to host the Olympics.
Yeah, I love that video, by the way. I think everyone should go watch that video of Mayor Cavanaugh doing that big spiel on the Olympics. But Detroit was an entirely different place back in those days. The population was just under 2 million. It was, I think, the fifth largest city in the country at the time of the 68 bid, which is the one that I wrote about. And it was seen as sort of this bustling metropolis that was, you know, more or less on the verge of becoming like a global city that really was worthy of hosting the Olympics. So by the time 1968 came around, or when it was time to bid for the 68 Olympics, which was in, I think, 63, Detroit was really in a good spot, and everyone was kind of confident that it would get the bid.
I have to share one of my top time machine fantasies, and that is to drive down Michigan Avenue or Woodward or Jefferson in Detroit, say about 1949, 1951, early 1950s, when the city was just throbbing. I would so enjoy that, because it has changed dramatically. So the Olympics that almost were the 68 Games in Detroit, I mean, but this wasn't the city's first attempt to host. What's the history behind the other quests?
Yeah, Detroit, if nothing else, Detroit was incredibly persistent. The city bid on all but one summer Olympiad between 1944 and 1972. So just every year it was going after it and after it. And a lot of cities at the time would have to bid multiple years before they got the actual nomination from the American Olympic Committee to like represent the U.S. as our nominated city. And so, yeah, they put out different bids every year, and I looked at some of the older ones, but 68, you know, was our best chance. But it was fun, actually, to see the renderings and the arenas evolve over the years based on, you know, what was in style at the time and what image Detroit wanted to project.
Tell us more about that. I mean, obviously, stadiums would have been built, and existing mm-hmm. infrastructure would have been used as well. What stands out to you?
Yeah, well, okay, so if you watch Sochi today, if you watch the Olympics, they always do that big aerial shot of their Olympic Park. You know, all the arenas are next to each other, they're all blue. Detroit's equivalent of that would have been the State Fairgrounds on 8 Mile, actually. And while Sochi's biggest arena is about 40,000 people, it can seat that many at full capacity, Detroit's arena that wasn't ever built would have been able to seat 110,000 people right on Woodward Avenue.
Wow.
So, yeah, it would have been wild, and that's what was so fascinating to me about this. It was during an era when we really went big in terms of things like that. It was pretty illogical, actually. The idea was to make this huge arena, and it would be the centerpiece of this Olympic effort, and then the Lions were going to play there after the Olympics left.
Mm-hmm.
which would have been funny to see them playing in such a big arena. But what I like about the bid the most and what intrigues me is there are new arenas planned to be built at the state fairground site, but the Olympic planners included a lot of venues that are like very personal for Detroiters as well. And that's why I think it would be really cool to see these events happen on Belle Isle. Like they were going to make a boating course in the Detroit River, which had never been done before. They were going to do a swimming competition in one of Belle Isle's lagoons. Tiger Stadium was going to host soccer. Just these things, it would have been so neat to see these Olympic athletes competing at these venues that, you know, normal Detroiters would use and visit every day.
The other really landmark, or one of the other really landmark locations in Detroit was Olympia Stadium. I mean, you had the Masonic Temple as well. Were there plans for those?
Yeah. Olympia and Tiger Stadium were both included as two of the bigger venues, aside from the stuff at the state fairgrounds. And they were both going to be renovated and upgraded. And in that video, I think you were playing earlier, Mayor Kavanaugh says that Olympia Stadium, even though it's like 20-something, or it's pretty old at that time, and he says it's the best ice arena in the whole world. But I think one of the interesting what-if questions is, if we had had the Olympics, if Tiger Stadium and Olympia Stadium might have been preserved, because they would have had such an investment during the 60s.
Right.
So, yeah, it's one of those sad things that, you know, I really wish I could see those places today.
Yeah. Wayne State University was also a major part of the plan. How was the university going to be utilized?
Yeah, Wayne State, of all the institutions, of all the things that would have changed in Detroit because of the Olympics, I think Wayne State is number one. They were going to use the campus to make the Olympic Village where the Olympians stay, and what is now the athletic campus would have hosted sort of this garden of modern high-rises where the Olympians would reside, and there was this big central square with the big Olympic rings in it, and yeah, they would go from there, even though the venues themselves were kind of far out from there for the most part. But the renderings, yeah, are stunning to look at, just to imagine, because Wayne State would have then used the buildings afterwards as student housing, and, you know, it would have become a much more residential school instead of, you know, still today, it's a commuter school, so it would have changed everything for them.
Paul Bishori is our guest on Current State. Paul's the editor of Curbed Detroit, and we are talking about the often overlooked bid by the city of Detroit to host the 1968 Summer Olympics and how that might have changed the landscape in the Motor City. What about transportation, Paul? How is everybody going to get around?
Well, it's Detroit, and you won't be surprised to know that Detroit hasn't changed much since then in the way it views transit. So there was a monorail planned, or some sort of light rail system planned kind of where the M1 rail was going to go, just from downtown all the way, I think, to the suburbs. But it was actually, at least in the bidding documents I could dig up, which, you know, were the official documents, there was not a lot of information on that thing. It felt sort of like an obligatory, you know, we're going to build a transit system for this event and whatever. But mostly they were going to rely on the city's fleet of buses to truck people around, to truck the athletes to different venues. But the thing that I loved about this sort of brochure that they sent to the Olympic Committee, it had all these big, glossy, colorful photos of cars. And it was like, Detroit's the Motor City. Detroit has this beautiful freeway system. It had a photo of a big freeway interchange, and it's just completely gridlocked with traffic. And the brochure points to this as evidence of how wonderful Detroit is and how high-tech we are. In every venue that we talk about in the Olympic bid, we you know, boast about how many parking spaces they all have. And it's like, we just renovated Cobo Arena, but it has all these awesome parking spaces. You can drive right to it. And so it's fun for me to like imagine, you know, everyone just sort of driving to the Olympics.
Paul, what impact did the 67 riots have on this? I mean, did that really undo this bid? What role did those play?
Well, the riots happened after Detroit's bid was shot down. What happened was that Detroit was selected by the American Olympic Committee to be the nominee for the country. And we were competing against Los Angeles for the most part. They were our biggest rival. And Los Angeles got upset that we had been given the nomination and kind of talked to the Olympic Committee and asked them to reconsider. And in doing so, they also kind of publicly aired all their doubts about Detroit. And so when the Olympic Committee reconsidered, they still settled on Detroit and said it should be the nominee. But by the time we got to the International Olympic Committee, which actually votes on what city will host the Olympics, all these sort of bad feelings and second-guessing about Detroit were out in the open. And so that's why we lost to Mexico City, is a prevailing thought.
Mm.
But in terms of the riots, yeah, those happened after we had already lost the bid.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's interesting, yeah.
Very good. Fascinating topic. We want to thank our guest, Paul Bishore, editor of Curb Detroit, talking about Detroit's bid for the 1968 Summer Olympics. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.